Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where CEOs, business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous entrepreneurs, business celebrities, and the Playmakers team of experts. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, speaker, coach, trainer, and master in helping clients grow their business through success skills, leadership development, sales, time management, customer service, communication skills, and behavior change. He's helped generate millions in sales for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. Yes, I am Steve Klein. And Playmakers Talk Show is all about CEOs, business owners, and executives who have found success within their business and within themselves. Now, today's show will have no exceptions, except today's show will be a mostly sports edition show featuring in our studio Kelly McGonigal Finglass. And Kelly is the director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. We also have Chris Cumnock, and Chris is the vice president of creative services and event marketing for Roger Staubach's PPI Marketing. So, without further ado, our first guest is Chris Cumnock. Now, Chris has served as the vice president at Roger Staubach's marketing company, PPR Marketing, for the past 15 years. His expertise is in assisting companies with business-to-business programs that focus on both internal and customer rewards or incentives. Chris has created and implemented over 150 custom programs that are responsible for significant increased production. In addition, Chris works with companies in the areas of hospitality, acquisition of corporate speakers, and acquisition of corporate entertainment. Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, in reading about you, knowing about your company, looking at your website, your title should actually be Vice President of Fun. I mean, you're around famous athletes, you're around celebrities on a regular basis with a lot of the people associated with your company. What's it like to be around show business in your job?
You know, and I get that a lot. I get people saying, you've got the best job ever, but at the end of the day, it is a job, and there are a lot of great elements to it. But for the most part, you're on the other end of setting up the fun for other people, and that's fine because it pays the bills, but typically we're on the business end of it.
So you have been doing this for 15 years, which if I am looking at your website, which is ppimarketing.com, the company's been in business around 20 years?
Yes, a little over 20 years.
When you sent me your information initially, the picture that you had, the picture's actually on my website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com, was edited a little bit. You were there with a husband and wife, and the husband's name was Jim Lovell.
Yes.
Tell us about that. You were just with them not too long ago?
It was actually 2 weeks ago, and I set up for a company that we do some exclusive dinners for. It was a spouse dinner, and they had the employees were in for a two-day seminar, but the spouses were involved to come along. So they wanted some entertainment that would appeal to both, and so we had Jim and Marilyn Lovell come in for dinner, and we spent post-dinner, I facilitated a conversation with both Jim and Marilyn, just talking about Apollo 13 and talked about what Jim went through up near the moon and what Marilyn went through being back here and not knowing if Jim was going to make it back. So it made for a very entertaining evening, and those are the types of things that we do on a regular basis.
With all these celebrities that you're meeting, you probably could write a book on some of the stories you hear from them personally.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's some great stories that come out. And that's what we try to do when we set this up for companies is we want the attendees to be able to hear something that not everyone else has heard before, and to really get some insight and to go away feeling like I didn't just meet these people. I actually got to know these people.
With a man like Jim Lovell, I'm sure he had a tremendous amount of stories. So you interview them ahead of time, find out something about them, and bring that up during the event?
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of times what we do, Steve, is we'll go in. You know, incentives have become such a big part of corporate America today, and even the incentive itself has changed. It used to be you thought of an incentive as we'll pay somebody X amount of dollars over and above what they make if they do this. And what CEOs and executives are finding out is people will take that money and go pay a bill or put it in the bank, but it really doesn't, at the end of the day, it really doesn't incentivize them to do much more than they're already doing. But if you find out a little bit about what their interests are, which we do for companies, we'll go in and do a full questionnaire on people and find out their interest, and you give them the ability to do something that either they wouldn't do or wouldn't have access to do, now you can really get people excited about reaching an incentive or becoming more or better at their jobs. So that's really been an interesting part of our business to see that evolve over the years, and it's really come to the forefront, I'd say, in the last 4 to 5 years.
Well, if I was going to go to an event that my company had, I knew Jim Lovell was going to be there speaking, that's almost incentive enough for me just to be able to be in a room with him, with somebody of that stature. And I'm sure you find that a lot with a lot of the companies you work with.
We do, and we try to make it, as best we can, we try to make it iconic, and we had a company a few years ago, and he came to me and said, look, I want to do something that no one else has done. And so what we wound up doing is we chartered a jet, and we flew his group to the space shuttle launch, but we flew him with Neil Armstrong. And so, I mean, that's something that not many people get a chance to do, and at first Neil was not willing to do it himself, but we changed that. But we had, you know, with the passing of Pat Summerall last year, I did 2 dinners at Pat's house, and the employees on both occasions thought that they were just going to have dinner with Pat and Cherry at Pat's house, and that's exciting enough. We had the doorbell ring just as dinner was being served, and Emmett Smith came in and was the special guest there. So to sit and talk football with Emmett and Pat, I mean, we started about 7, we ended about midnight. We could have gone till 4 a.m.
For a lot of people, this is the event of their lifetime, something
Absolutely.
They'll never, never, ever forget. If anybody goes to PPI Marketing, just on their homepage, if you take a look in the upper left, you can do a speaker search for the speakers, and you have a just going through here. I can't even count how many you have, but almost, if not every athlete of any stature across the United States. How have you been able to? Has it been the association with Roger Staubach, or how have you gotten them to come into your stable of speakers?
Well, that, I mean, having the association with Roger certainly never hurts in any aspect of our business. But we like to say we can get any speaker out there. I mean, if you want the most obscure, very specific speaker on the internet or the housing industry, or you want somebody that's a motivational speaker and it's a household name, we can get you anybody. But the thing that we pride ourselves on, you can go a lot of places, Steve, and get someone to book a speaker or an athlete or a celebrity for you. What typically will wind up happening a lot of times is the person you go to will call somebody they know, who will call somebody they know, who will call the agent for the end result. And so what companies wind up doing is everybody gets a cut along the way. And so you wind up paying 3 or 4 layers more than you have to pay. With us, 99 times out of 100, we'll go directly to the source. And if we can't, we'll tell you. You know, we can't go directly to them. We'll tell you and say, here's the number. You can give them a call, and you're gonna be better off that way. You're going to save money. And there's nothing lost in translation when you're dealing one-to-one like that.
PPI Marketing is not a speaker's bureau. You actually develop events around the speaker, a la Emmett Smith walking in at dinner time, coming into Pat Summerall's place. It's something that you're building Neil Armstrong going with the group. It's beyond just having them speak.
Well, it is. And we do have a speakers bureau within our company. So that's a division of our company. But more and more what we're getting people to do in terms of our experiential side of things is companies coming to us. And I don't want people to hear this and feel like, well, gosh, we could never afford the level of Neil Armstrong or Jim Lovell or someone like that. We can do it as small as your budget is or as large as your budget is. I mean, we'll sit down and find out, okay, what are you trying to accomplish? What is your budget? And then we'll sit down with you and develop something that works for you from a budget standpoint, from an excitement standpoint. So there's so many things that can be done, and we try to customize all of them to really fit what your needs are.
Well, it comes back to what you mentioned before. You sit down with them, you ask them a number of questions, and from what I've heard, because I know a little bit about your company prior to our getting together today in this interview, it's becoming creative, finding something different, unique, outstanding for the group. And it just doesn't necessarily have to be dollars. It's just something interesting for the company that you're working with.
Oh, no question. And there's so many opportunities to help companies. You know, we have companies that we sit down with, and everybody's got their own unique challenges and their own unique views on what they need. And so when we sit down and analyze that with them, I mean, it's our job to be creative and to come up with a program that will work for them. But we want their input as well. Nobody knows their employees like they do. No one knows their customers like they do. And that's, you know, that's the other thing with incentives. It's not only incentivizing your employees, but a lot of companies, in fact, we work with one of our largest clients. They have dealers throughout the country that sell their product. They also sell their competitors' products. And so they use us to stay top of mind with their dealers and to also incentivize and to reward their dealers. But they'll do things, they'll plan things during the year just to stay top of mind to these guys, and it really works. I mean, if you're creating top-notch programs and experiences, like you said, that create opportunities of a lifetime, and your competitor's not doing that, I mean, you're going to get their focus.
That's a good point to end our first segment on, because I want to continue talking about what you do and how you do it for companies. We're talking to Chris Cumnock of PPI Marketing. We're going to continue talking to Chris after our break. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Are you a CEO, business owner, or entrepreneur who's achieved outstanding success, or do you know someone who has? Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF. The Playmakers Talk Show is all about leaders who have made it happen in their field or business. We're looking for these high-achieving playmakers as guests on our Playmakers Talk Show. Who are the high-achieving playmakers that you'd like to nominate? Right now, go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and tell us who's the most outstanding playmaker you know.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at NoPetStorePuppies.com.
This spring, plant something beautiful in your driveway. Introducing the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Spring Event. Right now, get 1.9% APR on a certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty and amenities like 24/7 roadside assistance. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Spring Event. Luxurious by any standards. Certified by ours. Not all buyers qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/13. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and details.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
I'm pregnant.
I've had the flu. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old
for
flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down. Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Ryan Tedder from OneRepublic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Here's Johann von Best, Executive Director of the Southwest Age Intervention Institute.
Typically, as we become older, between 40 and 45 and 50, we will generally begin to experience, you know, changes associated with aging. My energy is less than, I don't think as clearly. My memory, my focus is not there. I don't sleep as well. In the bedroom, there are changes that I don't want to deal with. That's where we come in. So we focus on exercise, which is appropriate. We all know that. A proper nutritional approach. The nutritional supplements that are going to be there directly for each patient to return them to health but then rebalancing their hormone levels to allow them to mimic where they were when they were in their late 20s and in their early 30s, become that vibrant person that they used to be beforehand. For most of us, at the age of 30, that really was our best time.
Contact the Southwest Age Intervention Institute at 1-800-AGE-EXPERT or on the web at 800AGEExpert.com.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Again, I'm Steve Klein, and we are, in this segment, talking with the vice president, one of the vice presidents of PPI Marketing, which is Roger Staubach's marketing company, Chris Cumnock. And we've been talking about what they do with the events and promotion they have. And for those who would like to follow along while you're listening, you can go to ppimarketing.com. You can take a look at a number of areas toward the top of the page that they do. One of the things that, Chris, you were talking about during our break was endorsements. So if a companies call you and they're looking for someone to endorse their product, how does that go about? What do you do with them?
Well, and again, it's almost like we talked about before. We'll sit down and analyze what they want to do in terms of their endorsement. Do they want to do radio? Do they want to do TV? Do they want to do both? Do they want appearances in there? And so we'll sit down and find out exactly how they want to use it and then really try to find somebody that's a good fit for it. And a common misconception that companies make now is, well, gosh, it's millions of dollars to get anybody to endorse my product, to get a celebrity endorser. And that's, you know, that's not true. We've aligned a lot of celebrities up with companies, and I think oftentimes they're surprised at how affordable it is. And it all comes back to, does it help move the needle? And I get that question a lot from business owners who say, is this going to help me? And the example I always use, when we did Troy Aikman with Advanced Foundation Repair, and so I always tell them, you know, there's 20 foundation companies out there, and you hear all their commercials on the radio, and you see their commercials on TV, but there's only one of them that has Troy Aikman, and that one's going to stand out a little bit from the others. So can it help move the needle? Absolutely. You have to find the right fit, and I think we're pretty good at that, and we've done that a lot, and that's, you know, it's become a big part of our business.
I have heard that if you're looking for someone to endorse or be a part of your commercials, your advertising, you want to have animals, young children, or a celebrity. So you can hit part of that for companies.
Right. We've not done animals yet, and we've done celebrities' children with them, but we've hit two of the three, or two and a half of the three.
It really comes down to what you're doing is, I was listening to another radio show last week, and one of the speakers mentioned that marketing dollars are not an expense, they're an investment. By spending these marketing dollars, you're going to have a return of some kind, not necessarily the return on the investment, but you're going to have a return of some kind. So as you're working with your clients, you're looking for a way to make sure you're increasing their business in whatever way you can.
Correct. And a lot of times, and you hit it right there, a lot of times it's not just, am I going to sell more products? Am I going to sell more cell phones if I do this? A lot of times sometimes that's what they're looking for, but a lot of times this becomes a part of the equation. So this, in what we do, enhances all the other things that they do. And so really, I mean, it's really every client has a different way of looking at it and a different set of guidelines that they go by and different needs. So it's really, it's important to sit down and take time to listen. We don't ever go in and meet with a client and say, well, we've got a great idea that really fits your business. To me, that would be offensive if I'm them, because you don't know what their goals are, what their objectives are, what their issues are, what their challenges are on a daily basis. So we want to go in and just listen on that initial visit, and then we can come back and sit down and use our expertise to say, okay, let's start to come up with the solution. Then on the second visit, you can sit down and really try to formulate a game plan.
I also know you do some things around events. For instance, when the Super Bowl was here 2 years ago, you had events planned around the Super Bowl. One that actually you do on a regular basis, the Hall of Fame luncheon?
Yes.
So how do you integrate those in together?
Well, the Hall of Fame luncheon, we've got a seat on the Pro Football Hall of Fame marketing board, and so we have partnered with the Pro Football Hall of Fame for, I think, 8 years now to do the Hall of Fame luncheon at the Super Bowl site each year. But from the remainder of the things that we do around events like the Super Bowl, the Final Four, those are all predicated on clients that want to entertain at those events. And we try to come up with things that are just a little bit different, a little bit more unique than just the average go to the Super Bowl and, you know, we'll get you tickets to this party. We try to customize and for clients to have their own parties, A, because it's cost effective, and B, because it's better for their guests. I mean, it's a big misnomer to get somebody tickets for a Super Bowl party and their guests are very excited about going because there's going to be celebrities there, and then they get there and there's 8,000 people there and they never even see the celebrities. So for us, you can spend about the same amount of money as you would and have a celebrity at your own party where you've got 60 or 70 people and you get to spend a good 3 or 4 hours getting to know that person.
There must be a tremendous amount of satisfaction when you hear the word wow from a client. One of the things I'm involved in with is customer satisfaction, and that's really what you're putting together. You're just finding a way to satisfy the customer in a way that, in a lot of cases, they never could imagine with some of the events you're putting together.
Correct. And now we've gotten ourselves to the point, and it's a good thing, but if you don't hear the wow, it's really disappointing. So you don't want to just say, well, you know, you did exactly what we wanted you to do, and we appreciated it. It went great. To us, that's a little bit of a negative there. We want to hear people say, wow, that really exceeded our expectations. I mean, you told us it was going to be great, but it was even better than that. And so that's what we're looking for, and that's how you get return business. And you have to, you know, there's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel every year. It's great to have a client that keeps coming back to you because they know you're budget conscious, they know your attention to detail, and they know that you fit their needs every time. And so that's what we really try to do. We've kept our company fairly small for a reason, because if I meet with you and you're a business owner, Steve, I'm not then going to pass you off to somebody else. You and I are working together the whole way through. So if you have a concern at 11:30 at night, you know you can call my cell phone and I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to answer it and I'm going to alleviate your concern. And that's the way we've operated, and we've been around for a long time, so I think it's working pretty well.
Well, this is Playmakers Talk Show. Thinking of playmakers are the ones that make things happen. Have there been any playmaking ideas that you've come up with your clients that really, I'm sure every event you do, it goes very well, but was really outstanding?
Well, I got a call a few years ago, and it was around 11:30 at night from one of my clients, and he said, I hate to call you so late, but I've got a problem. And he is the client that has the dealers across the country that sell his product, and they sell his competitor's product. He said, my East Coast dealer, my best dealer on the East Coast, sells about 80% of our product on the East Coast. One of my competitors is courting him to try to sign his company to an exclusive. And he said, I don't need to have him as an exclusive, but I don't need him to go there. I'm going to give you his number. He works in New York. And he said, I want you to give him a call tomorrow. He works with his cousin and his two brothers, the four of them on the company. He said, find out what their interests are, do something really great for them on our behalf. You don't need to call me back and for me to approve it, whatever it costs, which I wish more people said that, but you don't get that very often. But he said, just do something great for them. So I called him the next day and I said, I want to find out what your interests are. The guy's really funny because he said, what are our interests are? He says, huh, what are our interests? And I'm just thinking, gosh, please don't say, you know, something I can't do. I didn't want him to say our interests are girls or, yeah. But he said, I told him, I caught you off guard. I'll call you back. I'll give you some time to think about it. So I called him back. He said, okay, we came up with two things. He said, we like food. He said, if you saw us, you'd know we like food. He said, we also like the Mets. We don't like the Yankees. We hate the Yankees, but we like the Mets. So I sent a Hummer limo to pick him up 2 days later, and we took him to the New York Culinary Institute. And we had two of the Mets players meet him at the door with customized jerseys for all of them, signed baseballs, signed bats. And they got to go up. Each of them had a sous chef with them. So they drank wine and they cooked a 5-course meal in the New York Culinary Institute. They were taught along with the Mets players. And then it was served back to them in this wood panel dining room that overlooks New York City, and just got to talk baseball and cooking all night. So they're going back home in the limo, and they called my client. I said, I'll tell you what you're going to do for us, because this is the nicest thing anybody's ever done for us, and it's the most incredible evening we've ever had. You need to have drawn up for us an exclusive 5-year deal. Have it on my desk in the next week. I'm going to be out of town for a couple of days. When I get back, we'll sign it, and we'll get it back to you. And that, again, that's not what he was looking for, but it really hit the home run, no pun intended. It really did for them. And so, you know, that's one of them you can look back on and say, you know, we won that one.
That's the cherry to put on top of the Sunday we have here for the show, for Playmakers Talk Show, because that's creativity, that's salesmanship, and that led to what they're looking for. Chris Cumnack has been our guest, VP of Creative Services Event Marketing. Chris, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break. Fascinating hearing that story. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this. And stay with us, because we have the director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. We'll be right back.
Here's Johann von Best, executive director of the Southwest Age Intervention Institute.
It's probably logical for most of us. By the time we reach 50 years old, our hormone levels are in decline. Women, as you know, around the age of 50, begin to enter menopause and therefore experience those changes too. So energy is an enormous part of this. We go home, it's 6 o'clock at night, we have dinner, we go and watch TV, and the next thing it is, it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we're fast asleep on the couch. Your wife says to you, darling, do you want to go out to a movie? And you go, oh, darling, I'm just too tired, I can't do that. When you were younger, you were so vibrant. You never thought twice about somebody saying to you, hey, do you want to go and see a movie? Yes, you're already out the door at that point. Isn't it wonderful to have energy back again? Isn't it wonderful to feel so much better? And I think that's where we come in and do such a marvelous job.
Contact the Southwest Age Intervention Institute at 1-800-AGE-EXPERT or on the web at 800AGEExpert.com. That's 800AGEExpert.com.
Are you part of the upper 1%, the big money? Then this message is for you. I'm Spencer McGowan, host of Net Worth Radio on 570 KLIF every Saturday morning 7 to 8 or Sundays 3 to 4. And the biggest families we work with, they hold municipal bonds for tax-free income. And if you've got a big tax-free portfolio, I have one question for you. Have you heard from your advisor to sell at a premium? You probably haven't had a sell recommendation, and if not, then you need to be talking to us. Call me at 214-720-4400. Come down, meet the team that cares, and see how McGowan Group Asset Management is active in Bloomberg and the other electronic exchanges. We can make a big difference for your municipal portfolio. Tax-free income with McGowan Group Asset Management. 214-720-4400 to set your time. Come down to the Crescent and meet the team that cares.
McGowan Group Asset Management, utilizing Bank of New York Pershing for custody. Spire Securities, member FINRA, SIPC. Here's Johann von Best, executive director of the Southwest Age Intervention Institute.
Our process starts with 92 panel biomarker blood work, and in that blood work, obviously, all the hormone levels of the body are going to be reviewed. Your normal blood work that you would have with your doctor is going to be there too. But what we do that is different is that we review markers of inflammation and risk factors for disease as well. Now think about it. As we become older, is it not better for us not to have to deal with something than to have to deal with something? And so if we are able to look at hormone levels too and see where they come to lie, a program is then built upon their particular need. In other words, one person does not need what another one does, nor is one person's goals the same as that of another. So yes, it's very individualized, very much to what they want themselves.
Contact the Southwest Age Intervention Institute at 1-800-AGE-EXPERT or on the web at 800AGEExpert.com.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and I'm Steve Klein, and we have with us in the studio our second guest, and she is Kelly McGonigal Finglass. She's been an integral part of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders for more than 20 years, first as a 5-year squad member, then as a club employee, assistant director, and since 1991, Kelly has been the director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. Now, Kelly's standards of measure are simple. Everything must improve each year. So under her stewardship, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders have evolved from a highly valued operational expense of the Dallas Cowboys Football Club to a self-sustaining business enterprise with a worldwide reach. Kelly, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
What I need to ask you is, along with that introduction, what did it take to flip the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders from a team expense to a self-sustaining operation? Was it one thing or a lot of things? What happened?
Well, you know, when I took the job, Jerry Jones actually told me we want this department to at least not be a drain on the budget. So I immediately wrote on a sheet of paper everything that the cheerleaders do organically, everything that we do well, and tried to see, are there business applications to this? We do a lot of great things. We have beautiful women. They're great dancers. They're great teachers of dance. They create excitement at corporate events. And I kind of mapped out some business ideas. I mapped out camps for kids. We have now a program called Camp DCC, where our cheerleaders teach dance and camp clinics. The girls are beautiful, so why not have a modeling agency? So we started comp cards on the cheerleaders and started networking them as models. Appearances, we do a few, but we never really marketed our appearances to the corporate meeting planners and the meeting association, which is so strong in Dallas. Our auditions seem to interest people. People want to watch it. Maybe we should do a TV show around our audition process. We have pretty pictures in swimsuits, and we're not publishing anything. So I really just kind of looked at everything that we did and put a business application to it and tried to monetize the things that we do well that also are conducive to our mission and our image.
Now, as a cheerleader, so you were a cheerleader for 5 years prior to taking over, at least as assistant director. Were you subconsciously or consciously coming up with ideas of what you wanted to do to improve the cheerleaders?
No, I wasn't. Totally unconscious. When I was a cheerleader, I was just trying to survive the football games, dance the best I could, finish college, and I happened to be studying marketing, and so I guess that was ignited in me and was exposed to some pretty incredible marketing events, if you will, or special events. I mean, exposed to major football games. We did some corporate appearances. We weren't in the Super Bowls when I cheered. But, you know, I was around a lot of big things, and I guess it made my wheels start spinning. But not until I took the job and thought, okay, great, we've got these world-famous women. Now what? Did I, you know, kind of give myself a brainstorm list, and I've been a think tanker ever since. I just, my wheels spin continuously. It's exhausting. I hate it.
Well, you're under the tutelage of one of the best marketers in the world, if not in just in sports marketing with Jerry Jones. So you have a big job to do. But you're that standard of measure I talked about, everything must improve each year. With 20 years of improvements, you must have seen a tremendous amount of change since you took over.
My improvements are can be very subtle, but by improvements, my mind looks at exactness on, of course, our performance and our dance, but our music to things that we publish, from publishing a calendar on flimsy paper to, you know, paper choices, photography, all of our image pieces, the special events we do, it drives me crazy. In fact, when I'm in an event, when I'm in the middle of a camp with nine-year-olds today, I'm making notes about what I can do better next time. I'm just a chronic improver. It's just the way I'm wired.
And that's why the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are where they are today. Looking at your website, I was fascinated by one of the things, and it's DallasCowboysCheerleaders.com. I went to take a look at the historical pictures of the cheerleaders all the way back to 1961. As I'm looking, there's about a dozen women there, and they look like not college, but even high school cheerleaders. What's the history of the cheerleaders? What happened to cause them to become an icon within sports?
Well, when the Cowboys started the franchise in 1960, we were at the Cotton Bowl. And in '61, a high school teacher was she put together an all-star team of high school cheerleaders. They were male and female. They were under 18. And there were two from some of the different area high schools, two from this school and two from that school. That was megaphones, pleated skirts, and sweaters. That existed at the Cotton Bowl, and it wasn't until the Cowboys were moving into Texas Stadium, 71, they actually moved in the season of 72, that this director at the time, Dee Brock, wanted to the Cowboys had actually been to the Super Bowl in 77, and it was in New Orleans. And when she took these young kids that were cheerleaders for the Cowboys, and they were in New Orleans, and they were under 18, and then they were exposed to all the craziness of a Super Bowl event, she came back and went to Mr. Schramm, Tex Schramm, our general manager at the time, and said, look, if we do this, I want to revamp the uniform. I want to have at least adults, or they have to be over 18, they've got to sign a contract, and we want to have professional dance auditions, and I want to hire this choreographer named Texie Waterman, who was a famous choreographer here in the Dallas area, had danced on Broadway, and had her own studio. And that was the formula. We have a new stadium. It was the 70s. All eyes were on Dallas, Texas. We were winning Super Bowls. The TV show Dallas was the most glamorous, you know, thing on television. We introduced this uniform that was 70s inspired, go-go boots, hot pants, halter top, you know, sexy, beautiful women. Introduced seven adult women dressed in the star-spangled uniform and introduced them in Texas Stadium. And that's when the cameras were kind of like, whoa, this is new. It was new and it was the right idea and we were at the right place and it was the right time.
This was groundbreaking because this wasn't done at most sporting teams anywhere in the world. And I'm looking at the website. I see those seven women. 1972 was the first year that you see the cheerleaders as they are right now. Matter of fact, first time I'm looking at the cheerleaders and you see belly buttons because the rest of them, they were covered up so much. So this, it was groundbreaking. It was something that was never done before. And that was the beginning of the Dallas Cowboys. I believe it was before that they were America's team, but that didn't hurt being part of the America's team with having the cheerleaders back there. And what you've done apparently over the last few years is you've really made them even tighter together with the Cowboys and the cheerleaders. Now, have other sports teams, football and maybe outside of that, have they watched the Cowboys and have they taken ideas from what you've done with the cheerleaders?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm friendly with directors of other teams, but I've even placed phone calls to my counterpart at the Redskins, and I'm like, his name was Donald at the time. I'm like, Donald, can you at least change some of my sentences from my website before you post them on your website? Because this is almost plagiarism. We have been kind of trailblazing on the programs that I mentioned, the business aspects, the camps, the swimsuit calendars, the TV shows, halftime productions. We've kind of started a lot of that, and they've followed suit. There are, though, having said that, some incredible directors, four of which happen to be my cheerleaders that are now with other teams. Tampa's director, Miami's director, the Jets director, they're all former Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. So I'm kind of proud of them in that way. So I try to mentor.
They've hired from the best. It's almost as if an assistant coach in the NFL goes on to another team. You're proud of that prodigy you've developed. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, continue speaking with Kelly, director of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, because Camp DCC is coming up. And most importantly, if you or a young lady you know would like to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, we're going to talk about how to do that. Stay with us. This is Playmakers Talk Show. CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners, if 2013 will be your breakout year, listen closely, because the tools necessary for this year's success are available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of these keynote talks or workshops will move your people toward peak performance this year? How to Slay Your Dragons? Values-Driven Leadership? Coaching for Improved Performance, Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, Management by Strengths, The Time of Your Life, Outrageous Customer Service, Communication Skills, or Behavior Change. Quantum Leap success is just around the corner. So, if people development is in your organizational plans to move to peak performance, go right now to pdcchange.com. That's pdcchange.com, and let us know when we can help move you toward your best year ever in 2013. Oh, and ask for our free report. But with you,
what you hear isn't just any beat, it's the actual heartbeat of a child in need. This is Ryan Tedder from OneRepublic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Are you a CEO, business owner, or entrepreneur who's achieved outstanding success, or do you know someone who has? Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF. The Playmakers Talk Show is all about leaders who have made it happen in their field or business. We're looking for these high-achieving playmakers as guests on our Playmakers Talk Show. Who are the high-achieving playmakers that you'd like to nominate? Right now, go to PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and tell us who's the most outstanding playmaker you know.
I'm Corey Mencken with the ASPCA, asking you to join our No Pet Store Puppies campaign and take our pledge not to buy anything at pet stores or on websites that sell puppies. Chances are that the cute puppy in the window or on the internet came from a puppy mill, a large-scale commercial breeding operation where dogs are housed in overcrowded, unsanitary conditions without adequate veterinary care, food, water, or socialization. Help the ASPCA end puppy mill cruelty by taking our pledge at nopetstorepuppies.com.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Again, I am Steve Klein. We are speaking with Kelly McGonigal Finglass, who is the director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders, has been for over 20 years. And as Kelly and I were talking during the break, Kelly began her first year as cheerleader in 1984, correct?
Right, 1984.
And which is too many years for me to add up. But
Tom Landry was our coach. Tex Schramm was the general manager. Roger Staubach and Danny White were our quarterbacks.
And Clint Murchison was the owner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you have been with every ownership and regime, every coach since 1984.
That's true.
That's very unusual in this day and age for any kind of company, much less a sporting team. But you have a couple of events coming up, specifically the auditions, which you have about the same time every year for the new squads. How does that work? Tell us about what a young lady would need to do to potentially become a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
Our auditions are really rather simple. They start Saturday, May 4th, and a candidate would need to go online and just fill out the application. And we have a freestyle dance competition on Saturday. They have to be at least 18 years old, and they need to be able to dance and learn our choreography. However, it's part of my job to discover talent. And we've had some great cheerleaders that come with a lot of dance background. And we've had some that don't have quite as much formal training, but have great rhythm, great musicality, and the ability to learn. And that's what we do in training camp. And we develop them. So the biggest thing a girl could do is, if she's interested, give herself the chance and the confidence to show up. Once they get, the stadium itself is very overwhelming. I remember it personally. I almost did a U-turn when I drove up and saw literally 1,200 women outside that were all, in my mind, prettier, bigger hair, bigger boobs, everything. Everything was bigger and better than me, and I wanted to turn around and go home and cry. But I got through the audition process, and it changed my life. And that's what happens. Once they get in the room and they start making friends and kind of trying to survive this audition together, we are picking cheerleaders. We will pick new people, and it's our job. We're there to find new talent.
Some of the cheerleaders stay over from year to year, and or how do you determine who's going to stay with you?
We have rookie cheerleaders that are in their first season, and then we have veteran cheerleaders that are in their second, third, fourth, and fifth. This year, we have one of our fifth-year girls trying out for her sixth year. We have a lot of our rookie cheerleaders trying out. We have girls this year from all over the country, and international. I even have an Australian cheerleader this year. But out of our squad, we have 32 re-auditioning. That is a very competitive group because we have 32 that cheered this season and want their place back on the squad next year.
Which means each year the level of their abilities keeps rising.
Their level of experience rises from the current squad members. And then, yes, I've noticed through the years, especially with our TV show, we've had more talented, more qualified people show up at our auditions for round one. And they've come from all over the country. I mean, this year I've got two girls from New Jersey, one from Washington, D.C., Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, of course, Texas, New Mexico, and Australia, to name a few.
That audition is an experience in itself. How important is attitude?
I think attitude is what fuels the entire process for the girl. You can get overwhelmed very quickly. Everyone there is beautiful and appears like they can dance. So a positive attitude and confidence about yourself. I mean, they really have to put their game face on. They're dancing in small outfits in front of a panel of intimidating looking judges. And I mean, it really takes confidence.
So the idea you need to have in your head if you're going to audition is there are hundreds of women auditioning. Someone's going to be picked. You got to believe it's going to be you.
That's right.
Absolutely. So tell us also about Camp DCC that you said before. That's something you developed under your tenure as director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. I looked at the website. Again, the website is DallasCowboysCheerleaders.com. You have a number of different events. Tell us about those.
Well, our camps are designed to be kind of a non-competitive environment where our cheerleaders interact with young girls. We have them ages 7 through 17, and the young girls love learning dances and cheers from our cheerleaders. Our Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are great teachers. Many of them are teachers from dance studios in the competitive cheer world. So it's just the perfect mix. I'm a mom now, so I've seen this as a marketer, and now I'm experiencing it as a mom, how the girls really react to their people they look up to their role models. And we're very conscious about that. So the young girls love learning the dance, and they get to know the cheerleaders real well. They follow their careers on Twitter and on Facebook, and they watch them on the TV show. And, you know, they meet exciting people. The parents like it because it's a positive environment. We're teaching good things to good kids, and it's a good program.
How old is the camp? How long ago did it start?
Well, I started it my first year as director in 91. I'm in my 23rd year, and this is the 23rd annual everything.
So the question that comes to mind, have you had any young ladies from these camps,
yes,
these youngest girls, come back and either audition, which I'm guessing they have, or even become a cheerleader?
Yes, we have. We've had several. One in particular that comes to mind right now is Mia Greenhouse. She's on our website. She's a third-year cheerleader. She's an outstanding cheerleader. She started in our camp program. She made our little junior Dallas Cowboys cheerleader performing group, and she's now a senior cheerleader, very successful.
Look at the legacy you've developed.
Absolutely. It's exciting. I'm proud.
So you've been doing this since 1984. You're coming up pretty close to your 30th year now being associated with the Cowboys. Are there any interesting stories that have happened over the years with the cheerleaders, with your travels, because you travel all over the world with the cheerleaders? Anything really that's an interesting story that came up that you had fun with?
Oh, well, I wouldn't know where to begin. We've had stories of a serious nature when we're on USO tours and we're in war zones, and we've had literally shows where bombs are going off in the background. The girls have traveled all over the world. A funny story is when we were in Mexico City at an American Bowl game, and once the cheerleaders hit the field, out of nowhere this thunderstorm just came down on us. We were in Azteca Stadium, I believe. And the field was natural grass, which became mud very quickly, within seconds of the cheerleaders dancing midfield. So long story short, when the cheerleaders got to our signature kick line, At the end of the routine, they were high kicking mud into their own faces. Mud was flying everywhere. There was nothing white left on our uniform, and they were soaked in mud, but they kept going. You know, they did their high kicks. They did their jump splits. It was pitiful. And they exited very humiliated. They exited off to the end zone. We went into the bathrooms, washed their uniforms in the toilets because that was the only water we could find. They brushed themselves off. They danced in soaking wet beige uniforms at the time and made it all the way through the game. But I guess washing their uniforms in the toilets of Mexico City was probably something I'll never forget.
I'm sure that's extremely interesting. You're thinking of a football game and filthy players. You don't think about dirty cheerleaders.
It happens.
It happens. Kelly McGonigal Finglass, thank you very much for being with us. Director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. Great time having you with us.
Thank you.
Where can they go again to get the information to audition again on your website?
Our website has the best information, DallasCowboysCheerleaders.com. And then all of our cheerleaders tweet. So they all have Twitter accounts that they tweet daily about their trials and tribulations as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader and a young adult living in Dallas, Texas.
So you can get all of that at DallasCowboysCheerleaders.com. Kelly McGonigal Finglass, director of the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders, has been our second guest. I am Steve Klein, and this has been Playmakers Talk Show. Please check our website, playmakerstalkshow.com, to get more information about the show and to listen to any shows from the past. Thank you both, Chris, and thank you, Kelly, for being with us. I'm Steve Klein. Tune in next week, Playmakers Talk Show.
Here's Johann von Best, executive director of the Southwest Age Intervention Institute.
Typically, as we become older, between 40 and 45 and 50, we will generally begin to experience, you know, changes associated with aging. My energy is less than, I don't think as clearly, my memory, my focus is not there, I don't sleep as well. In the bedroom, there are changes that I don't want to deal with. That's where we come in. So we focus on exercise, which is appropriate, we all know that, a proper nutritional approach, the nutritional supplements that are going to be there directly for each patient to return them to health, but then rebalancing their hormone levels to allow them to mimic where they were when they were in their late 20s and in their early 30s, become that vibrant person that they used to be beforehand. For most of us, at the age of 30, that really was our best time.
Contact the Southwest Age Intervention Institute at 1-800-AGE-EXPERT or on the web at 800AGEExpert.com.
This spring, plant something beautiful in your driveway. Introducing the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Spring Event. Right now, get 1.9% APR on a certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty and amenities like 24/7 roadside assistance. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Spring Event. Luxurious by any standards. Certified by ours. Not all buyers qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/13. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and details.
KLIF News and Information. 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2.
Here's Johann von Best, executive director of the Southwest Age Intervention Institute.
It's probably logical for most of us. By the time we reach 50 years old, our hormone levels are in decline. Women, as you know, around the age of 50, begin to enter menopause and therefore experience those changes too. So energy is an enormous part of this. We go home at 6 o'clock at night, we have dinner, we go and watch TV, and the next thing it is 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we're fast asleep on the couch. Your wife says to you, darling, do you want to go out to a movie? And you go, oh, darling, I'm just too tired, I can't do that. When you were younger, you were so vibrant. You never thought twice about somebody saying to you, hey, do you want to go and see a movie? Yes, you're already out the door at that point. Isn't it wonderful to have energy back again? Isn't it wonderful to feel so much better? And I think that's where we come in and do such a marvelous job.
Contact the Southwest Age Intervention Institute at 1-800-AGE-EXPERT or on the web at 800AGEExpert.com. That's 800AGEExpert.com.
News and information, KLIF.
News every morning and afternoon.
More news, more stories than KRLD. News updates at least 4 times an hour, every 15 minutes. Right now, traffic on the 5s. Every morning and afternoon, followed by weather. With the most trusted name in North Texas, WBAP meteorologist Brad Barton.
Business news updates at 20 and 50 minutes after the hour.
And sports from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Your commute is covered, coming and going.
News and information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF. KLIF.